Let us pray. Lord Jesus, this is a season that we are waiting. This is Advent season. You have come to the world first time, and we are waiting for you to come second time and to finish the human history, to create a new earth and new heavens. As we are getting into this season of Advent, let our heart to be turned to you, solely turned to you, that you would be our great anticipation, great expectation for this life, and especially for this Christmas. And we commit our heart to your Spirit, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, one indelible image of Christmas is the gifts laid under the Christmas tree. You know, after unwrapping all of her presents, a little girl was asked, "Did you get everything you wanted for Christmas?" And she thought for a moment and said, "No, but then it is not my birthday." Simple question, whose birthday are you celebrating in this Christmas day? And perhaps a better question is, what do you expect for this Christmas? With this question in mind, would you please turn with me to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2. We are going to read verses from 21 to 35. Luke 2, 21. And here's the word of God. When 8 days were completed before his circumcision, his name was then called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And when the days for their purification, according to the law of Moses, were completed, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male that opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to what was said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was righteous and devout, looking for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came in the Spirit into the temple when the parents brought in the child Jesus to carry out for him the custom of the law. Then he took him into his arms and blessed God and said, "Now, Lord, you have let your bondservant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light of revelation to the Gentiles and the glory to your people Israel." And his father and mother were amazed at the things which were being said about him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "Behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rise of many in Israel, and for a sign to be opposed. And a sword will pierce even your own soul to that end that thought from many hearts may be revealed." This episode is taking place around the temple in Jerusalem a few weeks after the first Christmas. If we count, it is actually 40th day after Christmas. As in the text, Jesus was circumcised in 8 days after his birth. And circumcision started with Abraham in Genesis 15. As God prescribed, Abraham to be circumcised as a sign of God's covenant relationship with the house of Abraham and his descendants. So Jesus was born in a Jewish family who was Abraham's descendant. And the name of all new male-born babies were officially given at the time of circumcision. And according to the word of angel, the name Jesus was given to this baby. And Jesus means a savior. Now let's look at verse 22. When the days for their purification according to the law of Moses were completed, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. So Joseph and Mary brought Jesus to the temple. You know, Jesus was about 40 days old after his birth. You know, they brought Jesus to the temple in order to observe the law of purification. The woman had to be waiting 33 days until the days of her purification were completed according to Leviticus 12. And an offering had to be given to present, to be presented in the temple. And the normal offering should have been a lamb, but Leviticus 12 allows, if you are poor, instead of a lamb, you can present a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. This is exactly what Jesus' parents presented because they were poor. And then the gospel writer Luke switches his camera to zoom in to another person in Jerusalem in this episode. Look at verse 25. And there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was righteous and devout, looking for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. So it was Simeon. Have you heard of the name Simeon? And this is actually one of the sons of Jacob's, one of the sons, among 12 sons that Jacob had, Simeon. And on the surface, he was just an average man who lived in Jerusalem. And Simeon means God has heard. God has heard. It was a wonderful hope for Israel that God would hear their cry. The last prophet of Israel was Malachi, who spoke God's word nearly 400 years ago. Since Malachi and the New Testament, there were no prophecy, no official word of God proclaimed by any prophet of God. It's a dark age, so to speak, in Israel's religious history. Gospel writer Luke introduces him. This man was righteous and devout. You know, righteous, dikaios in Greek, simply means just and upright. One who upholds the customs and norms and laws, and it is shown in his behavior. That's what righteous in this particular context means. So he was blameless and well-behaved a citizen in the relationship with the people and observing all civil orders. And second description of Simeon is devout. Devout simply means God-fearing, reverent. He recognized God is most important person to please. As such, he fear the Lord. That's what devout means. And so he was concerned about the things of God. So if you think about Israel in the first century, in this time, Israel was by and large apostate and legalistic and hypocritical. The nation was largely in a condition of being unsaved. And there were only a few righteous, and Simeon was one of them, the true remnants, a minority who believed in God for their salvation. And Gospel writer Luke goes on to say, he said, looking for the consolation of Israel. So Simeon was looking for the consolation of Israel. What does that mean? Consolation is paraklesis, which means just comfort and help or consolation. So looking for the consolation of Israel is the same expression as waiting for the Messiah. He just waiting for the Messiah. You know, seeing the Messiah was Simeon's highest hope. That was his greatest anticipation. If that happens, I'll be satisfied. You know, simply put, that was what, you know, the mind of the Simeon. So to that end, he was living a life of being righteous and devout, waiting for the Messiah to come. And Simeon lived his life with this great and only one anticipation. You know, for Simeon, the great anticipation was the coming of the Messiah. What about us? What can be our great anticipation in this particular juncture of human history? You know, this week, President Trump recognized Jerusalem as the capital of Israel. You know, what is special about that? As you have seen, there were quite a few oppositions around the world already. There's already violence in Jerusalem. And this morning I read the news that Pope says, warns of Trump, you need to have, you know, wisdom and balance, something like that. So he didn't like it. You know, the Roman, you know, Roman Catholic didn't like that because it might stir up more violence in that region. So the vast majority of the world didn't like this idea. You know, this might trigger a global conflict. You know, this week might be a turning point of history. This might usher the world closer to Armageddon. Armageddon, mentioned in Revelation 16, and Daniel 11 also talks about the 70th week, which is the end times. You know, Armageddon literally it's a rendering of a Hebrew origin, Har Megiddo. Har Megiddo. Har means hills, and Megiddo is one of the hills in Israel that Jehoshaphat fought with the foreign armies. So Har Armageddo, Har Megiddo, which is Armageddon, means it's a battlefield during the end times. You know, William Hendrickson, who is one of the biblical scholars, he said the world under the leadership of Satan, anti-Christian government, and anti-Christian religion, the dragon, the beast, and the false prophet is gathered around the church for the final battle. And when God's children, oppressed on every side, cry for help, then suddenly, dramatically, Christ will appear on the clouds of glory to deliver his people. That is Armageddon. You know, the reason why, you know, why I am saying this is we may live in a very special time of history. I wouldn't say when, because I don't know, but we are getting closer to the second coming of Jesus. So we may be finding a similar context as Simeon, because Simeon knew that Jesus is coming in his generation because the Holy Spirit spoke to him. And as such, he put all his effort around that event, that he's going to see Jesus, and he did. In the same way, we can have this great anticipation to be placed on the second coming of Jesus and learn from how Simeon lived. Let's go on to read verse 25, the last portion. The Holy Spirit was upon him, and it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord Christ, and he came in the Spirit into the temple. You know, Simeon was probably utterly unknown to anybody in Jerusalem. And no one would have known him or recognized him. He was just an average Joe, so to speak. And yet, he had a deep encounter with the Holy Spirit. And there are three statements about Simeon in the relationship with the Holy Spirit. First, Holy Spirit was upon him. Holy Spirit was upon him. You know, this description is very rare in the Bible. And Isaiah 61 described Messiah. And Messiah confessed, the Spirit of God was upon me. And so Holy Spirit recognized this man of God. And his righteousness and devotion for God was honored by God, such that Holy Spirit was upon him. You know, we cannot invite Holy Spirit to come upon me. It's God's sovereign will that he send his Holy Spirit and place him on us. This is what God does. And, you know, God is looking for a person whose heart is ready for him. And God would love to be near those who love him and would empower them with his Holy Spirit. And I believe Simeon was one of such people in his time. He's a remnant. Probably the vast majority of people won't like him, but he was the man of the Holy Spirit. And second description, it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord Christ. This is a personal prophecy. You know, only God and, you know, he know this promise, because Holy Spirit spoke to him that he would not see death before he see the Messiah. So he was looking for the day that he would be able to see Christ. And that is why I believe he come to the temple that day, and I believe he come every day to pray to God, and hoping that that day would be the day that he would see, you know, Jesus Christ. Yeah, and then saw the expression, he came in the Spirit into the temple. In that particular day when Jesus' parents brought Jesus into the temple, Holy Spirit led him into the temple. You think about that, because Mary was a woman, Mary cannot get into the temple building inside. But there is a court, woman's court, and which is basically the huge courtyard, which is so big. I went to Jerusalem temple, the courtyard still remains, except that the temple is not the temple of God anymore. It's a Muslim mosque, Islam mosque, replaced that. But courtyard still remains. It's a huge place. So it's not so easy to meet each other unless Holy Spirit, you know, guided him to meet Jesus' parents that particular day. Verse 27, when the parents brought in the child Jesus to carry out for him the custom of the law, then he took him into his arms and blessed God and said, now, Lord, you are releasing your bondservant to depart in peace, according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light of revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. So Simeon immediately recognized baby Jesus as the Messiah, whom he long waited. You know, after holding Jesus in his arms, he began to bless God and speak to him. He confessed that now he is ready to depart. That means he is ready to die because he has seen the Messiah. He thanked God that God's promise was fulfilled to allow him to see the Messiah. You know, very few, if not nobody, would expect Messiah to come this world as a baby. Because the vast majority of Israel looking for military commander, Messiah, their Messiah who can overthrow the Rome in the first century. Very few people knew that Messiah come as a human baby. The plan of God was incarnation. It's not about sending, you know, militant, you know, general all of a sudden from nowhere and then conquer the world. But Simeon knew the incarnation of the Messiah as the Holy Spirit revealed the plan of God. It's very interesting to see what Simeon prophesied. First, he prophesied Jesus is the light of revelation to the Gentiles. And second, Jesus is the glory of Israel. If you look at Isaiah 49 and 42, Old Testament have similar expressions about the Messiah, but the order is reversed. Simeon puts Gentile first, to whom Messiah is the light of revelation. Gentile was never regarded as the primary purpose of God in the entire Bible. And they were always the secondary who will be blessed by Israel. But here, he prophesied that Jesus will be the light of revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. He reversed the order. You know, what does that mean? Some people say because Luke is Gentile, that's why he switched the order. But I don't think so. Luke being Gentile has nothing to do with this particular order of blessings. I believe Holy Spirit revealed Abrahamic covenant to Simeon. Abrahamic covenant says Genesis 12:3, in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. That was Abrahamic covenant. And Simeon knew that this Abrahamic covenant was fulfilled through Jesus Christ, this baby. And who will be the blessing for the nations? And then nation include Gentiles and Israel. God never put Israel as a center. And his plan was through descendant of Abraham, who is Jesus Christ, the earth shall be blessed. All the nations, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. That include the nations. You know, nations in Hebrew word is just the foreign countries, goyim, foreign countries, Gentiles. Whether you know they are Israel or you know foreign country, they are under the blessing of Abraham. And I believe Holy Spirit revealed the original purpose of God for the nations to Simeon, and Simeon declared that Jesus will be the light of revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. And then let's try to finish the rest of today's text, verse 33 to 35. And his father and mother were amazed at the things which were being said about him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, behold, this child will be appointed for the fall and rise of many in Israel, and for a sign to be opposed, and a sword will pierce even your own soul, to the end that thus from many hearts may be revealed. So Simeon went on to prophesy to Mary on this baby. He revealed four truths about Jesus. You know, many will rise who are for him, and many will fall who are against him. And Christ will be opposed by people. And Christ will be the revealer to lead the people with the truth of God and the depravity of human heart. These four prophecies about Jesus, and these prophecies authentic and realized even today? I believe so. This prophecy about Jesus still holds today. Christ will be opposed by the people. We see that. Even in the Christian country like USA, even in Korea, there are a lot of opposition against Christianity. So I believe Simeon was in the rank of the New Testament prophets. Perhaps the first prophet since Malachi, even before the John the Baptist, because John the Baptist still was an infant, 6 months ahead of Jesus, right? So he's probably 6 months and 40 days old. He has not prophesied anything, but the Gospel of Luke brought this man, Simeon, who prophesied. Who would be able to tell Joseph and Mary more clearly and explicitly about their newborn baby than the prophecies of Simeon, which we just saw? So let's recap the life of Simeon. He had one great anticipation, probably only one, seeing the Messiah in his lifetime. And everything he did was centered around this anticipation. He was righteous and devout because he knew that Jesus would come in his lifetime. He was preparing for himself to make himself ready to receive Jesus. And as such, he was empowered by the Holy Spirit to recognize Jesus, Messiah, and bless him. Holy Spirit was upon him. That strong statement, rarely to any human being, but that was description of Simeon in the relationship with the Holy Spirit. He was empowered completely by the Holy Spirit. And he blessed the Lord and Joseph and Mary. And he was fully satisfied when his anticipation has realized. He was ready to take off. No other desire in this world would keep him on earth, because his, so to speak, mission and anticipation has been fulfilled when he saw Jesus in the temple this day. So let me ask you this question. What do you expect for this Christmas? Three things I can suggest from the story of Simeon that make our Christmas, this Christmas, different. The first thing is, so make this Christmas different by being holy. Be holy. Simeon was a holy man. Holiday, we call happy holiday. People say Christmas, happy holiday, which is not a bad thing, actually, because holiday originally means holy day, happy holy day. That's what it means. So it's still, a little bit undertone, not Christmas per se, but still it originally meant happy holy day. If you make ourselves holy, the Christmas would be a true holy day. That's why be holy is so important, I think. As Simeon was a holy man, righteous and devout. In the midst of holiday spirit, with all the hustles and bustles, parties and gifts and decorations, etc., etc., everyone is busy with the season. Probably the, busiest season. Our life is already busy, but this holiday season is even busier. But our heart, cries out something different, deeper, and that which gives the real joy. As Simeon was a holy man whose heart was deeply devoted to the Lord, nothing will make more distinctive and joyful than we would keep our devotion with the Lord and bring our quietness to Him. So be holy by setting your heart apart to the Lord. If there is a sin in your life now, it is time to repent and rid of it. And if there is a worldliness in your thought, it is time to turn to the Lord, focus on Him, and be holy as He is holy. And second suggestion is, let your satisfaction come from the above. And if we do that, this Christmas will be very different than other Christmases in the past. Let your satisfaction come from the above. You know, to Simeon, seeing Jesus was his life goal, and once he saw Jesus, he was fully satisfied. He confessed that, "Lord, I can go in peace now. Thank you that your son, the Messiah, satisfies my heart. I'm holding him in my arms and behold his beauty." And he was fully satisfied, completely satisfied. And in holding Jesus in his arm, he was seeing the treasure, literally the treasure of his life, and was ready to depart from the world. So he was satisfied with the things from the above. That was Messiah. You know, we are created to find our satisfaction only from God. And the things of the world will not give us enduring satisfaction. And material things will never make us fully satisfied. And true satisfaction comes from abiding in Jesus. So let our satisfaction come from the above. And the last, not the least, bless God and the people. You know, bless God and the people has a connotation that life is not about us. Life is about God and the people around us. Our focus has to be shifted beyond above ourselves. You know, if you continue to focus on you, you will be most depressed person. But if, you know, the moment that your focus is shifted to God and other people, you are most joyful person. You know why depression happens? You know, especially extremely wealthy people are very depressed because, you know, their life is focused on themselves. And they try to get everything for them and yet not satisfied. Rather, they are still depressed. Simeon blessed God and Jesus' family, and all families on earth will be blessed by your descendants. That's a God's promise to Abraham. He is seeing that from this baby. And this was the covenant God made with Abraham. Simeon clearly saw that. And he blessed God for the fulfillment of the covenant in Jesus Christ. And he also blessed Joseph and Mary by saying their baby is the Messiah, the light of the Gentiles and the glory of Israel. And after all, Christmas is about blessing God for what He has done for us by sending His Son for our salvation. And Christmas is also about blessing the people with the good news. As you bless God and others, you will experience even more blessing upon you. So make this Christmas different by being holy, letting your satisfaction come from above, and blessing God and the people around you. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we just want to express our gratitude that we have you. We know you and you know us. And the word of Jesus abides in us and we abide in Jesus. We thank you that you sent your Holy Spirit so that he indwells us, each one of us, to give us conviction and satisfaction. We thank you for what you are doing in our life, and let this Advent season truly the time that we truly prioritize important things of our life. As we see, history is winding down, a day closer to the last one, which means your Son Jesus will come again, and he will create a new earth and new heavens. We look for that day. Let our heart truly be focused on that day. And from that angle, from that perspective, from that anticipation, let us live a holy life pleasing to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
There's a place where mercy reigns and never dies. There's a place where streams of grace flow deep and wide, where all the like a flood comes flowing down. At the cross, I surrender my life. I'm in awe of you, where your love and my sin. There's a place where sin and shame are powerless, where my heart has peace with God, forgiveness, where all the I ever found comes like a flood, comes flowing down. At the cross, I surrender my life. I'm in awe of you. I'm in awe of you. At the cross, I surrender my life. I'm in.
Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we over and over again we express our deep love for you and gratitude to you. Three persons in the unity of God. May this Advent season be the time that we get to know you more and deeper. Let our love increase. Let our faith increase to see the things of the world from your perspective. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God who is in heaven and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all forever. Amen.